Okay, good morning. Take my glasses off so I can see you. We're, for those who are not here every week, we're in the middle of a series called Living in the Light. And I'm just going to do the next title in that series this morning. But we've looked at, so far we're anchored in Ephesians 5, we've looked at put off the old and put on the new nature. Tony, for those who were here will remember, did that. Some of you might remember I spoke on that quite a few years ago and likened it to, in my thinking, to the Karate Kid, you know, wax on, wax off. And I remember if Catherine Hardcastle was here, she'd remember that, because that Christmas she bought me a present and it was a set of mitts to polish your car. One said wax on and the other one said wax off. I always remember that. Whenever I think of that, I think of put on, put off, the things that we need to put on. That's the way I think. I need little things to grasp, to remind me of things. But put on the old, put off the old and put on the new. We also had Holly talking about following the way of love. And then last week we had Tony talking about walking as children of light. And a lot of these titles overlap a little bit. The verses that I've been given are verses, it's Ephesians 5, if you want to follow, verses 15 to 20. But actually, I want to start with 14, which is where Tony left off last week. So if you read from verse 14, it says this. This is why it is said, wake up, a sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wake up. Just turn to the person next to you and say, wake up. Some of us physically sometimes need a little jolt to wake up. I've been away, some of you know, I've been away this week in France with the school, 54 kids, who on the first night in France thought it was really good to talk and mess around and wake us up at 4 o'clock in the morning, which is all right till we have the last laugh at 7 o'clock in the morning when we're waking them up to get up. I'll tell you what, there were some of them that took some waking up, but they got woken up. But spiritually as well, we can be, we can seem like we're asleep, and we need to be spiritually woken up. And Tony ended with that last week. He said that it was possibly a song that they sang to each other to remind each other about various things, about waking up from the spiritual stupor that we can be in. And he left us with the last slide, which was wake up, rise up, and look up. And so it's from there that we want to continue on this morning. My title this morning is Living Wisely. Christians, living wisely. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, what is wisdom? If we want to be wise, we want to live wisely, first of all, we just need to know a little bit about what wisdom is. Wisdom isn't necessarily great knowledge. It isn't being academic. We can know a lot of things, but not be wise. We can have lots of head knowledge and still make foolish decisions. So wisdom isn't about gaining all knowledge, which is good. So what is wisdom? Great king that we all know, Solomon, when God said to him, you can have anything you like. What do you want? What did he ask for? give me wisdom. Because he knew wisdom was valuable. More valuable than gold, more valuable than all the riches. Truth is, Solomon got many of the things he could have asked for, but he got wisdom. If you look at the book of Proverbs and read Proverbs, you'll find so much in there of wisdom. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, one for every day of the month. I've done that quite often, said, right, as an exercise on a 31-day month, I'm going to read a chapter each day that matches up with the date of the day. And it's amazing how much you take in of from Proverbs, of little quotes and drops of wisdom. But Proverbs also gives us a little hint into what real wisdom is. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I opened one of my Bible apps this morning, and you know how these Bible apps always say, verse of the day, and I always sort of click it off because I think, I want to get on with what I'm doing, you know. But this morning, the verse of the day was Proverbs 1:7. And I looked and it said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So what is wisdom? The fear of the Lord. So should we be afraid of God? Is that what it's saying? We need to fear God. We need to be afraid of God. That's not what it's saying. We should have a reverence and an understanding of who God is that makes us want to do the right things and not the wrong things, that makes us want to do things that please him and not things that turn us from him. It's not a fear, as if he was some great, horrible master looking to beat us. It's a reverence of, a respect of. And that is the start of wisdom, the Bible says. One day he will judge our thoughts. One day he will judge our actions. We should always keep that in mind. Sad reality is that today sometimes we fear man more than we fear God. We're more afraid of what other people might think than we are about what God might think. We're more afraid of people finding out our secret sins than we are about the fact that God already knows. If we could grasp that, we would be much more accountable in our discipleship situations of saying, you know what, I just need to confess this because God already knows anyway. I want to get this right. I want to put this right. That realization of who God is, that one day he will judge us. But actually, if we're vulnerable and accountable and confess our sins, then actually we live in a different light. That's wisdom. Wisdom is a practical thing, not just ideals. It's a way to live. We need to live wisely. So what does this passage that we've got this morning have to say to us about living wisely? How can we live wisely? Well, let's look at verse 15 first. Verse 15 says, "Being aware of what is happening around us." We are far wiser if we know what's going on than if we're blind to what is going on. Do we know? Do we understand? The world we live in today is a very different world from even just a few years ago. Crime is seemingly increasingly getting worse, not just in the amount, but the crime itself sometimes. We look and think, it seems to be worse, doesn't it? Marriage is less valued than ever before. And sadly, even amongst Christians, marriage is less valued. Abortion's rising. Tolerance has replaced truth. No longer are we allowed to say there is an absolute truth. That's bigoted when you say that. No absolute truth. Truth is what I think it is. And you have your truth, and I'll have my truth. But don't you tell me what your truth is, because I'm entitled to my truth. That's the world we live in today. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? But it's true. If you try to apply any biblical truth into some of these situations, you're in trouble. Have you ever said, I don't know what this world is coming to? Or if you haven't said it, have you heard other people who say it? What is the world coming to today? I just don't know. Well, the good news is, God does. There's nothing that is happening today that surprises God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And as we said a few weeks ago when I was preaching, he started it, he finishes it. None of it is a shock to him. But we are in a spiritual battle, and we need to be spiritually prepared for that battle. The world we live in, as I say, is a different world. There have been so many enhancements to this world that have been really good. These things, David was reading his Bible from one of these this morning, wasn't he? We can instantly get information, knowledge, and we can instantly get pornography without even looking for it. Do you know, there are many men today who struggle with pornography. And this is the truth. And these subjects are not always talked about and not easy, but they're true. If we want to live wisely, we need to be wise to what's happening. See, those of us who are old enough, remember, if you wanted to get involved with pornography in the past, you had to quietly put on a Mac and look and go and get them off the top rack where nobody could see it and hope nobody saw you and go home and do it in secret. There's always that risk of getting caught. You don't have that now, do you? Get it very easily in the private of your own home. But God still sees. Many men struggle with that issue. Leaders, church leaders, I've come across church leaders who struggle with that issue. And there are other issues. We live in a world that is different. We live in a world where it's harder to keep pure. So we need to be wise. We live in a world where values are changing so quickly. Spiritual battle. David, King David, the great King David, when he was preparing for one of his battles, he was putting together his army. And if you look in Chronicles, I think it's in 1 Chronicles, there's a passage there where he begins to list the different type of soldiers he has and all the skills that they have. And then he says this, and the men from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. They were a key part of David's army. Men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And we need today men and women of Issachar who understand the times we live in, and know what we should do. Maybe we could be those sort of people. How can we understand the times? How can we know what to do in these days? Through reading God's word, through listening to what God is saying prophetically, through hearing what organizations like Christian Institute are telling us, who are watching the changing times and advising us on how we should pray and how we should act and how we should respond. By responding to publications that ask us to voice our opinions That's how we can be aware and be wise. But today, we cannot sit and ignore what's going on around us. We need to be a voice. When I say we need to be a voice, I think we need to be a different voice to what sometimes the church has been in the past. Church, too many times, and I've said this before, has been a voice of judgment, a voice of criticism, a voice of condemnation. The world needs to hear a voice of love, a voice of forgiveness, a voice of you are welcome here. Not you're welcome here if you fit in. You're welcome here. But we need to be a voice. Both verbally and practically. Let's move on from that. I could be all day on that one. Not acting foolishly, the next verse says, like those around us, but with reverence or reference to the Lord's will. Sorry, let me go back because I've missed something important. On that first bit, it also says this, make the most of every opportunity. I was quite struck by that, actually, as I read that. Make the most of every opportunity. We have very limited time. Do we use it wisely? Do we take opportunities that come our way, or do we miss them because we're too busy? Opportunities of all sorts. There are opportunities for you to grow in your spiritual life. Do you take them, or do you miss them? People say to me, I don't understand the Bible, really. I find it hard. Then we put a night on where you can focus on God's word once a month, and they're not there. They're missing an opportunity to learn the things that they're telling me they don't know. People who say to me, I struggle to worship. We put a night on like Deeper tonight to give you a chance to learn to really build some worship muscles, and you're not there. We're missing the opportunities. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most, parents, of every opportunity to spend quality time with your kids, being an example to them. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity to speak and witness for Jesus. You might not get that opportunity again. Tomorrow you'll get more time, but you might not get the same opportunity. Now, David, my sound engineer's gone. Can you just turn the recording off a minute for me? Oh, she's there. She was hiding. Making the most of whatever opportunities we have. Make the most of it. Parents, make the most of being an example to your kids. I have so many parents who come to me and say, I don't understand why my kids now don't want to come to church. And I look and think, you've played fast and loose with church for so long through your life. Are you surprised that your kids now don't value church the way you should have valued church? Now, I know it's no guarantee. I know that we can do all of the right things and still our kids can go away, but they stand a far better chance if they see that value in us. But we have a fast and loose view of even meeting together and fellowshipping together and worshipping together. I've got a better thing this morning. The sun's out, it's not out very often, so we'll have a barbecue instead. They're all good things, but actually, there's nothing more important than us fellowshipping together for each other and for God. And our kids need to see that we value these things. If our kids don't see us reading the Word and reading the Bible, how are we surprised that when they grow up, they don't value the Bible? They'll value what we value. Anyway, going back on. Not acting foolishly like those around us, but with reverence to the Lord. We should be different. Just because the world's changed its values, we don't have to. We need to be people who believe in God and demonstrate that belief. You ask many people today, do they believe in God? A lot of them will say yes. question is, what actually do they believe? We need to be people who believe in God and look like we believe in God. Live like we believe in God. We need to be people who desire to worship Him, who desire to know Him, desire to know His will, desire to please Him. We need to know the Lord's will. And therefore, we need to know how to know the Lord's will. Again, reading the Word, listening to those who've gone before us, who've been there, learning from others who have that wisdom. Don't live with the foolishness that says, well, there's always tomorrow. Do today. Make use of today. And then it says, being filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. If you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, get out here this morning and get baptized in the Spirit. It will change your life. It will change the way you read the Bible. It will change the way you worship. It will change the way you live. And it's not a one-off thing. That verse, be filled with the Spirit, is a continuing thing. Be being filled. Keep being filled. Don't think I've ticked that box. Actually, be there. Be those that are pushing forward to want more. I've said this before. You know, we talk about Oliver as if he was a bit of a bad thing. You know, please, sir, can I have a mole? When it comes to the things of the Spirit, wanting more is a good thing. It's a good thing. I will never judge anybody who's always out at the front, because that's what I want to see, that desire, that hunger. When I was a youngster, I was constantly out the front, constantly out the front. When I'm not preaching, when I'm not leading, when I'm not in some sense of responsibility here on a Sunday morning, I'm always, when I'm listening to people preach, saying, God, what can I get here? What do you want from me here? What should I be responding to? And I will respond. I don't care what people think about me responding. Why? He shouldn't need to respond to that. He's the pastor. If God wants me to respond, I will respond. God was talking to me last week when I was here about my ability to be offended, to take offense at things. And so I responded. I said, I want offense to go, and I want to be filled with your Spirit again. So don't think, well, I can't respond. There's always something we can respond to. But we want to be constantly be filled with the Spirit. And out of that will flow the gifts. Just want to honor as well, as I was in the worship this morning, I just thank you for the faithfulness of those who come and share words, for those who bring tongues, particularly those who bring interpretation. It's a brave thing to bring interpretation. Just to encourage you, the words that were in my head all the time through that tongue were amazing, magnificent. I'm not always able to bring an interpretation, a full interpretation, but I often get the gist, and when I hear people bring the interpretation, I think, that's the right interpretation. Because those are the words, I'm hearing odd words. I think, yeah, that's it. I keep doing it. We could all do these things. They're not just for the few. The Bible says for all of us to be filled with the Spirit and have the gifts and see the fruit. And then verse 19 says this. It says about encouraging one another, speaking to each other, psalms and hymns, being encouragers. I love to encourage people. Doesn't always happen, but I love days, mornings when I can get an extended time of prayer and worship. And I'm probably like a few people. I have prayer lists, and in my diary each day I have different things that I pray for each day, and I work through those prayer lists. And sometimes it can be just like a list. You know, you're sort of busy. But I love the days when I've got enough time to go through those names and pray and really get a word of encouragement and be able to text something out and say, praying for you this morning, I got this. It's great as well when you get someone back and say, you know, that really was what I was thinking about this morning. And I love it when, like this week, I'm away and I get an email from one or a text from one encouraging me. We need to be those who encourage each other. The world is far too able, and we at times are far too able to use words that bring down rather than build up. We need to be encouragers. Who can you encourage this week? With your words, with your actions, with your deeds. Taking the opportunities again. One of the kids this week lost all their money within about 5 minutes of being in Disney. He'd lost all his euros. And we had a little WhatsApp, as is the way nowadays, a little WhatsApp between the teachers, because we're always in different places, so we keep contact. And it came on the WhatsApp, this child had lost their money. And so one or two said, look, I'll put some money in. And I texted and said, look, I'll put some money in. But, you know, one of the things about that for me is that opportunity to be generous. And actually, you know, and I'm not saying that to aren't I good. I just want you to see. I go into school and I teach about the Good Samaritan. And the teachers then look and think, well, how much of a Good Samaritan is he? But it's an opportunity, not just for me to be generous, but an opportunity to say, come on, I'm living what I'm preaching. Maybe you've got an opportunity this week to be generous. I prayed with somebody who's sat this morning and will recognize this when I say it. So what can I pray for you? And they said, I just need God to be with me as I've entered into retirement and got less money coming in and want to be sure that everything's all right. And I prayed a prayer that probably didn't bless them, because I prayed, God, give him a generous spirit. Let him be generous. Because that's how God does it with us. When we're generous and we've got lots of it, it's easy, isn't it? When suddenly we're a bit less, are we still generous? Are we still willing to trust God enough to be generous? Anyway, I'm off my notes again. But that encourages us, doesn't it? It's great encouragement to me when people are generous. Not just generous to me, when I see people being generous to other people, I love it. Because that's God's heart. So speak to each other in encouraging ways and do things that encourage. Verse 19 talks about worshiping. People who live wisely will be people who worship. Worshiping at home, not just here. Worshiping in private. Our life should be worship. Worship isn't just about singing. There are many ways we can worship. But we should be people who worship. And again, do our kids see us worshiping? Am I only worshiping when I'm stood behind the keyboard and people see me? Or am I worshiping all the time? One of the kids said to me this week, you like singing, don't you, Mr. Strike? And then I sang at one point, and one kid said, Mr. Strife, you're going to sing, sing it in tune. To which the teacher next to me smiled and said, he's right, you were a bit flat. But I love to sing, I love to worship. We need to be people who worship, because wise people will worship God. And then, as David was encouraging earlier, in verse 20 it says, be thankful. Wise people are thankful. Thankful for what we've got. Thankful for all God's done. People who are not thankful often live their life just wishing for something else and missing their opportunity, missing the opportunity to enjoy what God is doing, always looking for the next thing. Again, one of the kids said to me this week, we were stood waiting for it to go on one of the rides. What ride are we going on next? I said, can we not just enjoy the ride we're about to go on now? So always wanting the next thing. And we could be a bit like that, can't we? But actually, we need to learn to be thankful. When did you last sit and write down all the things that you could be thankful for to God? Actually, in lots of ways, that's what the Psalms are. Just psalmists writing and saying, these are the things that I'm thankful for. Maybe you could go home and write your own psalm. Thank you, God, for all these things. But if we are wise, we will be very thankful. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So are we a people who understand the times? Are we a people who are living wisely? Are we a people who are taking every opportunity? Are we a people of worship? Are we a people who are thankful? Because that's the people that we need to be. And the world will look at us and say, I want some of that. Finally, brothers and sisters, who says that? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, that's Paul saying that, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. That's Paul's words. And I leave them with you this morning. And God will be with you if we do these things. God bless you.